Boom. That's weird, isn't it? Hello, everyone. I'm Andy Shepherd here. It's Friday, and it's the Friday before a huge fight week. So I wanted to come on here and share some of my thoughts. I think everyone's got their thoughts ahead of a fight, and while everyone's sharing them, I want to share mine with yours. I want to hear what you've got to say. So if you agree, if you disagree, you got any other thoughts on what I'm saying here, let me know. Jump in the comments, give me a tweet, hit me on Instagram. Would love to hear your thoughts on the fight this weekend. And look, there's a lot going on. Main one I think everyone's going to be looking at here, particularly in the UK, is Anthony Joshua versus Usyk. A big heavyweight fight on the cards. And I'll be honest with you, when this fight was first announced, I wasn't excited. Far from it. But I think that was because we were all looking for the AJ Tyson fight at that point. That's what we'd all been waiting for. That's what we all wanted. It's what we all thought we were gonna get. But the politics of boxing came into play once again. Of course, Tyson's got to go and fight Deontay. That's coming up shortly. And this is the fight that AJ went for. And let's be completely honest, it's a good fight. But at the time, I think I was just disappointed that we weren't going to finally get to see what we all wanted to see, which is AJ versus Tyson. That's still a fight we all want. That is the biggest heavyweight fight in the world right now. Huge domestic fight. Who is the best? Who is the man in the heavyweight division? And it's great that they're both British. It's great for British boxing. I think it's what we all want to see. So AJ Usyk, yeah, I found it hard to get up for it. And it's only the last couple of weeks, the hype's really rolled up, and I really started to try and think about the fight that now I'm invested. Now I'm into this. When you really drill down to this, this is a tough fight for Anthony Joshua. A lot of people are saying this is the toughest fight of AJ's career. And for me, I think it goes one of two ways. First half of the fight, first six rounds, that's AJ's opportunity. He's going to be a lot bigger, a lot stronger, a lot more powerful. Can AJ impose his will? If he can in those first six rounds, then hey, it's AJ's fight. But Usyk, when you drill down into this, he's the better boxer. The second half of the fight, if it goes that far, this is dangerous territory for Anthony Joshua. So fight two halves for me. But let's think about the repercussions of this fight. If Usyk beats AJ, where's that leave us with AJ Fury? Look, no doubt that fight will still happen at some point down the line, but when someone's trying to unite a division, if Usyk beats AJ, then Usyk, you've got to think, steps up to face Tyson. I want to see AJ versus Tyson regardless, but this fight could really throw the entire heavyweight division into turmoil if Usyk were to win, in terms of those of us who want to see this AJ Tyson fight. Tyson came out recently and said that he has no interest in fighting Usyk. He wants big fights. Tyson's already listed out the fights he wants for the rest of his careers, and Usyk is nowhere near that list. So Tyson's not interested in it. Doesn't believe it makes money. Doesn't believe it's a big domestic fight. So we'll see. But look, that's a big fight coming up Saturday night. Big domestic fight. All eyes are going to be on that one. And look, I said I wasn't excited. It's Friday, and I'm watching the hype, watching the build-up. I'm in. I'm all in. So I've got a cough, by the way. I've got a chest infection. It's not COVID, so I'm a little croaky today, but yeah, apologies. But also, Saturday night, UFC. A card that I know that many, many others are looking forward to. Top of the bill, featherweight title, Volkanovski versus Ortega. And this one's heating up nicely during fight week. The press conference on Thursday, Volkanovski really upping the ante here, trying to get into Ortega's head. Volkanovski saying, hey, I didn't realise you popped for drugs in the past. You're a cheat, you don't belong to be here. Trying to just, I think, ruffle the feathers of Ortega. That's going to be like a great main event. Also got Shevchenko versus Lauren Murphy. Great fight. Do I think the title's changing hands? No, Shevchenko's holding on to that one. Going to be a great fight, could go to distance there. But look, the people's main event, as Ariel Helwani has coined this one and many other fights before this, the return of Nick Diaz. This is a fight that, well, I say a lot of people be looking forward to. I think a lot of people who've been following this industry for more than 5 or 6 years are interested in. What I'm interested to know is actually those who've become fans of the industry in the last couple of years, do you know about Nick Diaz? Is this a fight that excites you, or is it just those of us who've been around this sport for a while? That's one thing that I'm interested in, but a lot of hype around this because of who Nick Diaz is, because of his return. And there's some real great content out there. Jump on the UFC's YouTube page and watch some of the videos they put out about Nick if you don't know his story. One thing that came to light for me in one of their packages was just how much Nick Diaz doesn't like, it would seem, the whole fight week stuff. He loves fighting. When he's in there, he loves it. He excels at it. He's amazing at it. But he hates the circus that goes with it. The attention that comes with it. You see in interviews in the past, he's not a good talker. I think he has incredible anxiety around everything else that goes with this. And one thing I always say to young fighters is that you've got to play the game. This is not just, you know, sport and entertainment. Sport is what happens at, you know, your school sports day. But once you start getting paid for something, once people are tuning in and paying to see you, that's when it crosses from just pure sport into the category of entertainment. And you've got to work with that. You know, you've got to realize that you're there to entertain. That's why you're getting paid, because people want to pay to see you. And, you know, I've talked to fighters in the past who don't want to do any media, don't want to do any stuff like that, because they want to just focus on the fights. And I always think that that's going to hinder you. And Nick doesn't deal well with media. He hadn't done a lot before this fight week. And in years gone by, you can see that he just hates it. But there's something about Nick, you know, the drama that comes with him, the controversy that comes with him, the personality that got, the way he shines inside the octagon, has made him a star, you know, even though he doesn't like particularly dealing with the media. And again, this has really come to light this week. He said that this Robbie Lawler fight, a fight that, and this is again, check out Ariel Helwani's content this week. He gives credit to whoever came up with this, but it's 209 months since Robbie Lawler and Nick Diaz fought. For those of you who don't know, 209 is the area code from Stockton, where the Diazes are from. John Anik knows all about 209. He's got a nice tattoo, thanks to Nate Diaz, on his arm. But that's an interesting stat there. But Nick said he doesn't know why he's fighting Robbie Lawler. He doesn't know whoever made this fight has made a mistake. And this is like red flags to me. Surely when you're agreeing to a fight, particularly a fight of this magnitude, your comeback fight after well, his last fight was in 2015, 6.5 years ago. You know who you're fighting. You don't just turn up to training camp and ask, oh, who am I fighting here? Who have I got? Oh, cool. You're involved in that process. So for him to be here fight week and be questioning why he's fighting Robbie Lawler, he thinks he should be fighting Usman for the title. And look, as much as we all love Nick Diaz, you shouldn't, Nick. You've been away since 2015. You haven't won a fight since you fought BJ Penn in, what was that, 2011. You can't just walk straight back in and ask for the title. You've got to prove yourself. And hey, you know, you and Robbie, you fought before, yeah, 209 months ago. But you're two fighters at similar points, perhaps in your career, in terms of age, shall we say. Robbie's been a lot more active. I think it's a good fight. It's a fight that's going to get eyeballs. It's going to be a fight that tests both of these competitors. I think Nick's point, was that he's already beat Robbie. Why does he want to go and fight him again? If he fights him, he beats him, what to do for him, because he's already got a win over him. But if he loses, now he's lost to Robbie Lawler, where does that leave him? But you can see the anxiety just growing in Nick throughout this week. Anyone who's making a prediction on this fight is just picking stuff out of thin air. Let's be completely honest about that. No one knows what kind of Nick Diaz we're going to see in there on Saturday night. We haven't seen him for so long. I mean, we know the Diaz has trained hard. We know that they're always working out. They do triathlons. They're fit as a fiddle. How fit can a fiddle be? Anyway, conditioning, we know he should be fine, but how is an athlete going to perform after close to 6 years away? We don't know. But look, I hope Nick Diaz comes back. I hope it's a great performance. As much as he doesn't want to be fighting Robbie Lawler here, he said that he wants to be more active. He wants to come in there, win or lose. He wants to get back in there. So look, we'll see. 38 years old, what can Nick Diaz do at this point in career? Would love for him to come back and become a real contender. Lots of other news this week. Canelo and Caleb Plant, November 6th, they're going to clash. Press conference earlier this week. Broke down a little bit. A push from Canelo. Plant threw a punch. Canelo ducked it. Great head movement. Connects with a few of his own. The glasses, it was seen, the sunglasses that Caleb Plant were wearing connected with his eye. His cheek, sorry, and left him a cut. Doesn't seem to be that bad, but man, you know, when you look at those press conferences, anyone who's been at those things knows that, you know, 99% of the time, this is not a work. These guys aren't standing up there, you know, animosity for the sake of the cameras. These guys are alpha males. You know, these guys are gonna go and fight each other. Where's the security, man? That to let two fighters of that magnitude, that kind of animosity and heat between them. Yeah. Hopefully we all learn from this and there's all security there. Someone in between them. Also, Jake Paul. Jake Paul and Tommy Fury. Jake has now made multiple offers apparently to Tommy Fury for his next fight. Tommy's been pursuing this fight. Tommy fought on Jake's last card. Confronted Jake after the fight. And has been campaigning for this fight, and there's, you know, with good reason. A fight against Jake Paul ups your stakes, ups your fame, ups everything. But it's a big risk fight for anyone who is a professional fighter, particularly someone who's a boxer who's looking to build themselves to the boxing rank. Because if you lose to Jake Paul, where do you go from there? So big risk for Tommy Fury, given. But Tommy has apparently been offered. Jake says $1 million. In Tommy's response, he says $1 million. Sorry, Jake says $1 million. Tommy's response was, "I've been offered £1 million." There's a difference there. So I hope someone's clear on that. There's probably about a best part of 30% difference right now. But Tommy's turned it down. He says that a fight of this magnitude is worth a lot more. You look at Tyrone Woodley, who fought Paul last. He got paid a reported $2 million. So double what Jake is being offered right now. And you can kind of see how Jake's maybe getting to these numbers, perhaps. It was, Tyrone's number was, I believe, 4 times his biggest previous paycheck. So you got to think that's $500,000. This $1 million offer is apparently 4 times what Tommy's ever been offered. So Tommy's earned $250,000 before. I'm not sure what fights he's earned $250,000 before. I mean, if he's earned that, great. I mean, you've got to imagine that's from the last Jake Paul fight. Because Jake's been very adamant that whoever fights on his cards is earning career high paydays. So look, Jake's, you know, sorted him out already, sorted Tommy out already. But Tommy's turned this down. He wants more money. So let's break this down. If you're Tommy Fury, I get it. You want more money. You've seen that Woodley got $2 million. You want more. Do you take the million? Do you try and negotiate, hey, I'll take the million and you try and scrape some more on the back end? Because look, the money's generated by pay-per-views, by ticket sales. You take $1 million, if you put something in that contract where if this does big numbers, you get a kickback from the pay-per-view, a bigger proportion. Who knows? I think Jake is probably doubting whether Tommy's a big enough name to generate that kind of audience. Big name over here, a big celebrity over here. Of course, he's the brother of Tyson Fury, so he's a big name, part of that Fury clan. But can he draw the audience in around the world? That is to be seen. So you kind of see where Jake Paul's head at. If you're Tommy Fury, $1 million is good money, okay? I get he doesn't believe it's the money he deserves for this kind of opportunity. But if you can be the one, if you can be the fighter to go in there and beat Jake Paul. A lot of people thought Woodley had a chance. Woodley can bang. Woodley had power. He didn't have the boxing skills. Tommy Fury is a boxer. And he matches up pretty well to Jake Paul as well. Jake's often been fighting athletes who are a lot smaller than him, a couple of weight categories down. Tommy matches up pretty well in terms of height, in terms of size. This could be a different fight. Tommy's been training for a lot longer than Jake as well. If Jake believes in himself, is it now the time to take the money, to go in there, to try and pick up the sponsorships, the endorsements, try and get some pay-per-view points, and be the one to beat Jake Paul? That's to be seen. Interesting fight. Also, Aaron Chalmers, throwing his name out there as well. Aaron Chalmers, Geordie Shore star, being competing in Bama, Bellator, knockout power. True knockout power. He's back on social media after a little break, and he's called out Jake Paul. I'll be interested to see that. Very interested to see that. What does Aaron do need to do to get that fight? To be seen. We'll see if there's any traction from that. I think we need to make a lot of noise. Jake's into noise. Jake's into big fights that attract big audiences. So Aaron, I think we'll have to make a lot of noise to try and get that contest. But the contest inside the ring can be intriguing. And then let's finish off. We've got Extreme Rules this weekend. WWE Extreme Rules. Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor. The Demon Finn Balor. When the Demon comes out, it's always a special event. Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. Oh, man. Some of the best work I've seen in the industry in the time I've been watching it, truly. Love what Roman is doing. Love what the Usos are doing. Love what Heyman's doing. Do I see the title changing hands this weekend? Going to be a tough ask. Tough ask, I think. Especially when you've got someone like Brock Lesnar, who knows breathing down the neck of Roman Reigns. Is Brock Lesnar going to turn up at Extreme Rules? Another question to be answered. We've got Raw Women's Championship. Charlotte Flair against Alexa Bliss. We've got SmackDown Women's Championship. Becky Lynch against Bianca Belair. Can Belair regain that championship that Becky just stormed the ring on her return and took that title away? Belair, you know, is out for some redemption there. Damian Priest versus Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus for the United States Championship. Damian Priest, man, he's a superstar who has taken the ball and run with it. The opportunities he's been given, he's maximized them, man. I mean, you saw him in NXT, a great star there. But the way he's transitioned to the main roster is incredible. A true superstar. Great to see him work. Hope his title reign continues. But again, you got Jeff Hardy and Sheamus. Tough one. Wow. Managed to hold it almost that long. Almost the entire video. But okay, guys, let me know what your thoughts are on the fights this weekend. Let me know any predictions you got. Where you think these fighters go from here. Particularly with the AJ Usyk fight with Nick Diaz. You know, what's the next move for these fights after we see what happens this weekend. Follow me on social media at Andy Shep. Love to hear what you got to say. But hey, enjoy the fights this weekend.